I'm part of I follow a page on Facebook called Random Acts of Kindness, and this one came across this week. It was Dolly Parton's 74th birthday, and she had seen that her community was hurting. She had found out that in the early 90s that the dropout rate in the high school was 34%. She decided she wanted to do something about it. And we'll get to that one in a second. But after that one worked well, she found out that generally kids, when they're in first and second grade, that's when things started to manifest about the differences between each other. And so she invested in getting extra teacher assistance for every first and second grade in the county. And if it worked well, then the county would have to agree to cover the cost, so it would continue that initiative. And then she decided to go back a little bit further and decided to help prepare those kids. She would send a book to every single kid in the county once a month from the day they were born until they started kindergarten. She saw the need in the community, and she decided to do something about it. We're entering into this season of Christmas. We're entering into this Advent season, and we've had all different kinds of years, and some up and some bad, and we have an opportunity to look at all the stuff around us that can take us to a place of negative, or we can direct our attention on the greatest benefactor the world has ever seen, and that's Christ. So we're continuing in the series called Christmas Insights, and we've named it this way because we're getting different insight from those who are there so that we can keep Christmas in sight. It's a play on words to help us stay focused on the reason for the season, and that is Jesus. And before we go any further, let me just pray for us. Lord, I ask that right now, whether we're here or there, I pray that your spirit would land in a powerful way, that the stuff of this week and the stuff that is in our purview coming up would take a back seat to what you have to say to us this morning. I pray this in the wonderful name of Christ Jesus. Amen. We're going to be looking, as April just said, at Mary's story. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. And we're going to start in verses 26 to 38. We read it last week. You may be familiar with it. We looked at Gabriel's perspective, and this week we're looking at Mary's perspective. So join me in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled.' Then the angel left her." I just want to highlight a couple things from this segment. We looked at this passage last week, and the first of which is Mary is from this town called Nazareth, and up until this point, nobody really ever heard of the town of Nazareth. All right, we do now. It's Jesus is referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. It's this tiny, nothing town No main road to get there, no water supply, no main water supply to there. They had a well, but it was not a great functioning well. And so that this is the town of which God chose to find somebody to be the mother of his child. Just in that frame of reference. So put yourself in Mary's shoes for a second. And then the second thing is she was pledged to be married. Now there was three phases to their marriage arrangement. First was an engagement. That was the formal agreement of the parents. Imagine that. Glad we moved away from that. Then there was betrothal, which was a mutual promise between the two. And the only way to stop that or to cancel that was to go for a divorce. And that's the phase at which Mary and Joseph were at this point. They were pledged to be married. And then there was actual marriage ceremony that would happen more than likely a year or so into the future at the bridegroom's discretion when he was ready. And so this is the situation in which Mary finds herself in. And she's a virgin. She's young, most likely in her teens, and she hadn't had relations with a man. So when the angel says to her, hey, you're going to be chosen to be the mother of the Son of God, and he greets her by telling her she's highly favored, just kind of put yourself in Mary's shoes for a second. Like, do you know where I live? Do you know who I am and where I, like, I'm a nobody from Nowheresville in a nothing town, and you've come to me. So the concept here, it says that she was scared. Really, the concept is, like, perplexed to a place of bewilderment, and she was struggling to make sense of what was taking place for her. So he responds as he has oftentimes, and we looked at before, with this phrase, do not be afraid. Peace is the concept. You're going to conceive of the Son of the Most High, and he will be called the Son of God. And then he says this phrase that we centered in on, and then we looked at again in our this week's Encouragement Wednesday, that no word that God says will ever fail. That every single word that comes from God comes with power. And that's to his credit. Her response comes with great risk. Because of her situation, because she was pledged to be married to Joseph, there was a strong possibility that there would be suspicion and gossip about her and about what had happened to her. And adultery in this day and age and through the old covenant brought a penalty of death by stoning. So her circumstance that the angel is saying to her is great and terrifying all at the same time. Let's kind of think about that for a second. But her response is, I am the Lord's servant. I have shared off and on about our dog Phoebe's potty habits and my frustration with them. And somebody sent me this thing that says, have you ever noticed that your dog looks at you when they go to the bathroom? This is because at that point in their life, they are the most vulnerable out of any other time, and so they turn and look at you. This morning I'm out with Phoebe, and the wind is just everywhere, and she's terrified to use the restroom. And so instead of my normal, just go to the bathroom, instead of losing it before the service, I found myself, you can do it. It's okay. You can do it. You can do it. And I looked at my dog. It's a dog. I looked at my dog and I said, Phoebe, don't be afraid. And she like kind of looked at back up at me and went potty. And I was like, yes! We've gone through this ridiculous year. And there is so much to be afraid of. Even future, we have hope of the vaccine and all that kind of stuff. But there's still a bunch of fear. And those words that were said to Mary through the angel Gabriel and ultimately became one of Jesus' most often repeated phrases do not be afraid still ring true today. The response of Mary saying to the angel Gabriel, how will this happen? His response was, the Holy Spirit will do this. The same God who was present then is present now and is with you and sees what you see and is experiencing what you're experiencing with you. He is saying to each and every single one of us, don't be afraid. The story continues in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Now, just for a second, just notice what happens. She She's been told by the angel that she's going to be the mother of the Son of God. And immediately she goes where? For confirmation. From, if this is true, if it's true that I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God and my aunt is going to have a baby in her old age, then I can easily find this out. She runs, she goes to her aunt, and sure enough, she greets her aunt and then gets berated with these blessings. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you bear. The mother of my Lord should come to me. The baby in my womb leaped. Blessed is he who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Everything that the angel has told her is now being verified by her aunt. She's got the verification that she needs. So put yourself back in Mary's shoes for a second. The terror, the joy has now all been verified that this is going to happen to her. We often in our lives need the comfort of people. This season has caused us to have somewhat disconnectedness. We can't hug and all those kind of things. We see people through a screen. But we are created to have interactions with one another. Mary, has this interaction with the angel Gabriel. He leaves. She's by herself. Her immediate response is to go and get that verified and take comfort in somebody else who understands her experience. And she runs and she goes. The part of that story, Dolly Parton, that I didn't share, the fifth and sixth graders, she found out that fifth and sixth graders was the key. They made their decision by fifth or sixth grade whether or not they're going to drop out of school. So she got together with all the fifth and sixth graders, had the teachers get all the fifth and sixth graders together, and she said, find a buddy. If you and your buddy graduate, I'll give you each $500. Those fifth and sixth graders, when it came time to graduation, the dropout rate went from 34% to 6%. Now, we could argue, hey, they just wanted their $500. The reality is that probably never would have happened if they didn't have a buddy encouraging them along the way. If there's ever a season where we need encouragement to keep our eyes focused on the season, it's this one. As we go through this year, as we go through this season, it's easy to get distracted. I was talking with my guys. We got together with our elders this past Thursday, and we were going through our circumstances, and each and every single one of us, it was like wah, wah, wah. Like, this is, we got done, and we were like, why did we have this meeting? We didn't encourage each other at all, and I had to send an apology letter to the guys and just say, hey, listen, yes, we've gone through a dire circumstance, but there is still hope. The God that we serve has not changed. Our situations may have changed, but the God we serve has not. We need one another. I believe God is calling us during this season to not stay as lone islands wallowing in how terrible our lives are, but to reach out and encourage one another in the season to redirect our focus and our attention back on Christ. In verse 46, we see the response from Mary to everything that has taken place in this phrase that in most of your Bibles will say Mary's song. And this is her response. It says, Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of my humble estate of his servant. For now, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Just a couple things I want to highlight here. Her response is, my soul is glorified by the Lord. Everything that she has just experienced and then been confirmed by her aunt, that she is not alone, that God is present, has caused her to respond back to God with worship. That God chose a nobody from Nowheresville. She was chosen to fulfill the prophecy. Here we see the prophecy written out. She responds to the fact that she's a fulfillment of the prophecy. And then she stays with Elizabeth until John is born. Her whole life is turned upside down, and we're progressing to the end of the story, and we'll be at the end of this month when we celebrate the birth of Christ. I see a lot of parallels here, and my wife and I were watching late night this week, and the person hosting was asking a series of questions with somebody about all the answers that most humans want answered, silly stuff, and then stuff like this. Is this glass half empty or half full? When you look at it, something probably popped in your head. And the person responded, the glass is half full. And those handful of people that were chosen to be there started cheering, yeah, the glass is half full. If we're honest, though, sometimes the glass is half empty. And sometimes the glass is half full. I think the argument is it's both at the same time. But a bigger question is, who's going to fill it? Because it's really just a perspective based on my situation. If I'm having a bad day, it's half empty. If I'm having a good day, it's half full. But the reality is that we have a God who wants to fill it. Dolly and all her greatness and all her books and all her money completely changed her town. 2 years ago, just before her birthday, she gave away her 100 millionth book. It's crazy. This town has an amazing benefactor. But the reality is, we're in a season where we're celebrating the greatest benefactor this world has ever seen. In Jesus. And we have a choice to look at our circumstance and our situation and focus on it or focus on Christ. And so there's a few questions I think that will help us progress through the rest of the season. If you haven't already, choose today to prepare your heart for Christmas, a season that is about Jesus. There's all kinds of other stuff, but it's about Jesus. Who can encourage you, or who can you encourage to help stay focused during this season? We need one another. We just go sit in our homes and our offices and or wherever we do, whatever our workplace is, whether it's home or in person, and we wallow in this year, we will lose sight of the fact that the God of the universe loves us and is with us. So who can you encourage, and who can encourage you? And let's choose to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us during the season. The same Holy Spirit that filled Elizabeth and Mary 2,000 years ago wants to fill you today. Let's make ourselves available for His Spirit. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, some of us are in really good places, and some of us are really struggling. And the reality is that we need you. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your strength. So, Lord, I pray right now that you would turn our attention, our focus, our adoration, our desires back to you. That as you see us, we would see you. Change us, transform us, prepare us to celebrate you during this season. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.